Good morning and welcome to Zion Mennonite Church. It's good to be together. Thank goodness for our technology that we can see each other and hear each other, whether you're at home or on the road or in your car, wherever you are by phone. We're glad that you can be with us this morning. And thank you to those that help us Sunday mornings for our Zoom services. We've been focused on the book of Philippians for over a month now, studying a joy perspective. And I think it's interesting that the title, A Joy Perspective, is something that we really need. In these times that God has known our need and he has reminded us that he is with us. I want to read a little bit from Philippians 2 for our call to worship, words that I think will be of encouragement to you this morning. This is from Philippians 2, starting at verses 12. What I'm getting at, friends, is that you should simply keep on doing what you've done from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation. Reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted. A breath of fresh air in this polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. That is from the Message translation. For my prayer this morning, as we begin our time of worship, I'm going to light a candle and lead us in a prayer of lament. And that prayer of lament is a ritual in our Christian tradition for when we are experiencing or aware of a lot of troubling times. And we are in times of despair and grief. So join me in prayer this morning. God, we respond to the events that are tragic and disturbing that we have witnessed in our country this past week. And we offer prayers of lament, of being with you, God, and with each other during these anxious times. We see the brokenness and complexities of our life together as human beings. And we stand in solidarity with our Black brothers and sisters who have and continue to experience tragic loss. And we grieve for law enforcement officers who have lost their lives trying to keep peace. God, we don't have all the answers, so we cry out to you, longing for peace and justice. We pray for healing between neighbors and officers called to protect and serve. We pray for all experiencing the COVID virus and the effects it has had on families and loved ones. God, we pray for your peace in our world, knowing that the only way for it to come is by justice being done for your children. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Let's join together in singing. The first song for this morning is Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us.
I want to sing with the kids this morning. Kids, where are you? I'm trying to look for you on my screen. We're going to sing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands. So you'll catch on to the verses as we sing together. And Craig's going to do a little bit of percussion. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world. The whole world in his hands. He's got my brothers and my sisters in his hands. He's got my brothers and my sisters in his hands. He's got my brothers and my sisters in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole the birds of the air in his hands. He's got the whales and the sea in his hands. He's got you and he's got me. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got everybody here in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. thank you, God, that you hold the world in your hands, that you hold each of our lives in your hands. Thank you for your love and your care and protection over us. Amen.
Our next song this morning comes from Sing the Journey. It's "We Sing to You, O God."
We sing to you, O God, the rock who gave us birth. Let our rejoicing sing your name.
Good morning, everyone. Get set up here. Welcome. It is good to have you here, part of our service this morning. For those that might be visiting, I say welcome to you, to all of us. Once again, using this format of Zoom, we appreciate technology. And as you can see, I am again here in the church building. The building is lonely, I want you to know. It is looking forward to a time when it can enjoy people in it again, and it will be good to be together again. And we don't know how long that will be, but we do look forward to that as for sure, definitely. We are continuing this morning in our series out of the book of Philippians, and I have my packages here of grace. As you remember, the opening that Paul used in the book of Philippians was grace and peace. So once again, recognizing grace and peace to you, and that these are packages, gifts, and we continue to open these gifts. Grace, the grace of God upon us, upon our lives, through Jesus. And then also peace. And this morning, we're going to look at this concept, this understanding of peace, and to think about the peace of joy. As we've looked through the text in Philippians, we've really focused in on an understanding and perspective of joy. This theme throughout the book of Philippians, joy and rejoice, used over and over again. And in a time in our culture, in a time of our world, when there seems to be less joy and less peace, the importance of recognizing that our joy and peace rests not in circumstances, it rests not in the things that are going on around us in this world, but it rests in our identity in Christ. You and I, we are a new creation. And part of that newness, that creation, that God is at work in us and through us. And that is the grace, and that is the peace. And so we continue to open this up. This morning, we're going to be looking at the text, Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 9. I'm going to read then, and I'll include in my reading verse 1, just as a reminder of the continuation of this through from last Sunday as well, when Frank preached for us a great sermon, again, just trying to help us continue on our journey. So Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 1, it says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended by my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for grace and peace. Thank you for your word. And now as we look at this in the next few minutes, God, I would ask that your spirit would be at work in our hearts and our minds. Help us to see that which you would desire for us to see this morning. Amen. To step into this sermon about peace and the peace of joy in a time when our country is experiencing much unrest, much anxiety, the need for peace. As I watch what is happening around our country, it grieves my heart to see just the evidence of injustice and how our Black brothers and sisters are mistreated in this society, and that Black lives do matter, and that there's this call in our country to recognize injustice. And I think in the midst of my upset, in the midst of my grief, I think I see an opportunity for the church to step out into this society at this time to be able to share this message of peace and this message of joy. Not turning aside, not turning a blind eye to what's happening in our culture, but in the midst of that, being able to speak into one another's lives in such a way that it indeed does bring a sense of hope, a sense of peace, a sense of joy. You know, to reflect a little bit about this concept of peace, and as Mennonites, we recognize that this is a fundamental concept and idea and belief that we've held for our throughout our tradition. In the Confession of Faith, in a Mennonite perspective, it talks about peace and justice and non-resistance. And in Article 22, the first paragraph, we read this: we believe that peace is the will of God. God created the world in peace. And God's peace is most fully revealed in Jesus Christ, who is our peace and the peace of the whole world. Led by the Holy Spirit, we follow Christ in the way of peace, doing justice, bringing reconciliation, and practicing non-resistance, even in the face of violence and warfare. Even as Zion Mennonite Church, our part of our covenanting together is this recognizing that we're this Christ-centered community, extending our Anabaptist branch into our world. And that Anabaptist branch is that celebration, that recognizing that peace is a part of our identity, of who we are. And our covenant goes on to say, bearing the lasting fruit of discipleship, and what an opportunity to do discipleship in this culture, in this world, in this time, that you and I can walk alongside others. And again, sharing our love for God and another. And then it goes on and says, planting the seeds for God's reign through hospitality, service, and reconciliation with God and others. So what do we do? What do we do with what we see happening in our world, in our country, in our state, even in our communities? Paul writes to this church in Philippi and to us today some words that perhaps can help us to think about engaging with one another and with our friends and our neighbors, our culture. And he starts off in chapter 4 in this plea. And he's pleading that these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, interesting names. I don't think we have any of those folks in our congregation today, anybody named by Euodia and Syntyche. But there's something going on between these two. And it's this point of dispute or disagreement. We don't know what it is. What were they in dispute about? Was it injustice, protests, violence, sexuality, race, immigration, women in leadership, divorce, music style, hospitality, clothes, the pastor? Was it about safety, abuse? Perhaps it was the Sunday school curriculum, or submission, or gun ownership, or politics, or presidents. Maybe the color of the carpet, or whether to pave the parking lot or not. Maybe it was about the deity of Christ, or transubstantiation, or propitiation, or the paying of taxes, or the wearing of masks, or not being able to meet, or having Sunday morning breakfast. I think you get the idea. The dispute could have been about anything. And whatever it is today that we are in disagreement about, in dispute with one another, put it in there. You know, I taught a college class one time, and I asked these young folks who were probably between 19 and 25, I asked them, what does the church argue about? And after about 10 minutes of them brainstorming with me, what does the church argue about? We had over 100 items that they had come up with. So, does this text apply to us today? Certainly it does. Disagreements, disputes, misunderstandings, conflict, tensions, they are not new. They have been around a long, long time. Even here in the book of Philippians, remember that Paul said in chapter 2, verse 2, he said, make my joy complete by being like-minded. And so even there in chapter 2, he hinted towards some of what must be happening in this church in Philippi. Even when he's writing a letter about joy, recognizing that we're people and we have disagreements, we have misunderstandings. And it wasn't about the need. Paul wasn't calling the church in Philippi to agree on everything. Because if we look here at this text, he says that they might be the same mind in the Lord. The translation or the message book that says, translated this way, Eugene Peterson says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche to iron out their differences and make up. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. So that's kind of a way to think about in terms of today. God doesn't want us holding grudges. And even in Matthew 18, Jesus is teaching about bringing people together. And here, Paul is calling on probably the pastor of the church and saying, help these women. And so there's this desire, and we see it in Jesus' teaching, we see it here for Paul encouraging this church in Philippi to have people equipped and ready to help when there are grudges being held, when there are misunderstandings, when there are people who don't agree with one another. We're not surprised by that. We're ready for that, and we're ready to step in and help people to understand where each other are coming from. You know, one of the things I learned as I worked in mediation in churches across the country, that there are people that are gifted in bringing those who are disputing with one another together. In the Epistle of Barnabas, which is not it's not in our Bible, but it was a piece of literature written during biblical times. In that epistle, it says, do nothing to encourage dissensions. Bring the disputants together and compose their quarrels. There seems to be a call and a desire to bring people together, to recognize there are some folks that are gifted to be able to do that, and to compose their quarrels. What a concept. Compose, like a song, like a four-part harmony. Maybe that's a dispute. I don't know, for some. But this idea that these differences are part of our being human, and God calls us to be the church. Paul talks about the church being the body of Christ, and that the body of Christ needs to work together. And that, I think, is what is the call here, that Paul says that we're to continue to work together at this, to come alongside, and to understand that as we do that, we are looking towards the hope of heaven. Because that's what he just talked about at the end of chapter 3. And that he again refers to when he says that those names are in the book of life. To work together, to have that motivation, that inspiration, that desire. And if we can do that, if we can do that in our churches, if we can do that at Zion, if we can do that in our families, it will have an impact and an effect on our cultures, on our society, and our communities. And I think about, what do we do about the injustice of racism? What do we do with that at Zion? What do I do with that as I, you know, find my life in Forest Grove and traveling here to church and interacting with all of you? And I have to recognize that there is injustice and that there will not be a coming together, a composing of quarrels when there's injustice. So I need to look around. Is there injustice that I see that I can, in my relationships, in my family, in the church, that I can work at and address through this understanding of God's love and this call on us to be the body of Christ? And then how can that impact this culture and society in which we live? This is not easy. But look what Paul says then in the next verse, in verse 4, in Philippians 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And he emphasizes it. And he says it again, rejoice. And I got to tell you, when I see protests and death and violence, I find it very hard to rejoice. And if Paul's calling us to have joy in the midst of all that we see, and remember that Paul said earlier in the letter that the world in which we live, there's a lot of bad here. But even as we see that, the depth of what he talks about in joy and rejoicing, we can still have joy even as we see that in our culture, even as we mourn and grieve that which we has lost to recognize, even then we can have joy. And if we're going to work at being an influence in our culture, in our society, where we see injustice coming out of the depths of our identity and who we are in Christ. And then he says about not only rejoice, but let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything. I try to practice being less anxious than others. I don't always do so well at that. You know, one way I can practice that is to watch the news and to see how anxious I get just watching the news. But our gentleness must be evident to all. And so to think about how can I have less anxiety, be less anxious in the midst of what seems like a very anxious culture. And I think Paul gives us some hints and clues how to do that. He says that we need to go to God. Don't be anxious about anything, verse 6, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Focusing in on God and who God is and who God has created us to be. And verse 7, the peace of God, again, which transcends all understanding. And that is something that I think we need to continue to give witness and testimony to. That we can look at what's happening in our culture. We can look at the injustices around us and we can say we must do something different, that we must address that. We must try to promote change in that. But we can do that out of a sense of non-anxious presence. We can do that out of a sense of gentleness. We can do that out of a sense that this peace, this joy transcends all understanding. That God indeed can be guarding our hearts and minds in the midst of very anxious, upsetting, angry times. Things that are happening, maybe in our culture, in our society, maybe even to us and our families. To be people who have this evidence of God's joy in our lives, not being anxious, but going to God, focusing in on God, and that gentleness being evident to all. And then verse 8, if we want to try and think about how to not be anxious, how to be gentle, Paul tells us what we're supposed to think about. And I think this is if you want filters to know how to look at this world, here's a filter. He says, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, and we saw this word finally before, and Paul really, I think, means, and here's another thing, but this finally at least is a little closer to the end of the book, but this is an important piece, is what Paul's saying. This is what we're supposed to think about. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Pure? Lovely? Admirable? Excellent? Praiseworthy. So when I'm filtering through my social media and I see comments and posts, is it true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy? Think about such things. I can spend a lot of time thinking about things that are going on in my world, with my family. And I can get caught up in being very reactive, judgmental, prejudice, whatever it might be. And I have to go back and think about this description that Paul gives to each one of us. This is what we're to think about. And really, this is a description of Jesus. I mean, certainly, Jesus would be able to fulfill all of these qualities, true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. you and I can never get to there, to that place where we're always in all of those categories, always thinking those thoughts. But we can work towards that. But we don't work towards recognizing it's through Christ's righteousness and recognizing it's through this relationship with Christ that we stay connected. To be able to even think about having these characteristics. But we have to think when we're challenged with what goes on in our world, in our culture, in our families, in our churches, that this is what we need to think about. But then he says, Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, that we're not just supposed to think about. So we're not just supposed to think about the injustice of racism. Because Paul says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Take action. Do it. James 4:17 says, if anyone knows the good that they ought to do and they don't do it, it is sin. Put it into action. We can have good singing, we can have good sermons, we can have good programs, we can think what we're supposed to think about, but we also need to put it into action, to take steps, to move forward, to work at that which God is calling us to do. So what do we do? What do we do? I know this. We need to pray. Absolutely. But we cannot end there. As we pray, we need to get clarity of our thoughts. Think about true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. That's what we're to think about. But then we need to do. We need to step out and take action. I don't know what that is for you today, this week, but I hope God reveals to you as you pray and think what it is that he might be calling you to do, what it is that he's calling me to do. I think as a church, Zion Mennonite Church, as the body of Christ, the church worldwide, we have a great opportunity to be a witness. A witness in this culture, in this time of upheaval and crisis. Because we have the peace of joy. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for today. Thank you for those that are listening and tuning in to our service this morning. God, I would ask that you would continue to reveal yourself to each one of us. God, I would ask that as we pray and as we think, that you'd help us to know what to do. God, help us as a church to continue to work together, to get clarity on where you are leading us as a congregation. God, it is a challenge at this time to not be together physically, but through your Spirit, we're together as the body of Christ. Help us to continue to work together, to do that which you're calling us to do in our community, in our culture, in our world. In your name I pray, amen.
Bill, can you hear me?
Yes.
Would you add Drift Creek Camp, the directors, to your prayers, just as they have canceled everything this,
that somehow your hand would be moving, that your Spirit's presence would be evident in this country, that you indeed would help us to know what you want us to do individually and as a congregation and even as a denomination, that we might be able to shine a light on the immorality of racial discrimination. God, we talk about and preach about peace. We long for that.
We desire that for our families and for our churches and for our country. And God, it seems at times that peace is so far off. Help us to know that you are near and you're present. And God, we would ask that this sense of peace and your grace would help each one of us through the challenges that we have today, this week, in our lives. May we know that you continue to hold our hands. Amen.